Okay, tell your brother, tell your sister, and then tell that person, open your eyes. Open your heart. And open your understanding. That you may know and understand God's purpose for your life. Amen. This evening, I would like to share with you a very simple message. But I want this message for you to be able to grasp it. Because it will really change your life as a Christian in these last days. And I know that many of you here, especially the leaders, I mean, I was very much impressed, you know, by their maturity and the way they pray, and that they really want God's power to be manifested, okay, in this generation. And for us to be able to walk in the fullness of God's inheritance for us, then we need to have a change of mind, a transformation in our understanding for us to be able to walk into the fullness that God has for us in these last days. The title of my message is called Heavenly Generation. Heavenly Generation. One Sunday morning while I was in the middle of my preaching, and I was speaking on the subject of the authority of the believers. And our theme for that whole year was that empowered to serve and to witness. And so I was giving a series of messages with regards to the authority of the believers, that God had empowered us and has given us His Holy Spirit so that we'll be able to do the work of the ministry in these last days. And so I was challenging the believers, I was challenging the Christians to understand the authority that God has given them. That they could lay hands on the sick and that they can cast out demons. And while I was in the middle of this message, and all of a sudden I could hear an interruption from the crowd. Somebody there in the middle of the theater, because we were meeting in the theater, and we were renting the theater on Sunday morning, and then after that, they're going to use it for the show. So, while I was in the middle of my message, someone there was keep on interrupting me. And that he was saying words that will distract people from listening to my message. And so when I say amen, the person will respond, alien, you know. And then when I talk about the power, and then the person will respond, yes, money is power, the bank is power, you know. So, and then I notice in my spirit, and I sense that, you know, this person is under the influence of the demon. And so, I was caught right there in the situation whether I'm gonna keep on preaching and just let this person, okay, keep interrupting me, or I'll just stop and deal with, you know, with this person, what is happening. So, so in the middle of it, I just paused for a while, and then the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, well, are you going to just keep on talking, or you are going to just demonstrate what you are talking about? So I said, okay, Lord, I guess it's time for demonstration, you know. I mean, there's enough of preaching of this. I've been doing a lot of series of this, and I know that, you know, so many Christians today are so good in talking. I mean, they can talk and talk about this. They have all this information, but there is no manifestation, and you cannot see it in their lives. And I think it's high time for us to be able to see in reality what we are talking about. Amen. Amen. Tell the person beside you and tell him, I want reality. Yes. Amen. And so I called that, I confronted that person. I said, sir, will you please stand up? And because it was kind of dark there in the theater, and the person stood up, and then I realized that she was a lady. And so she stood up, and so I told her to please come to the front. And then she started to walk like this. Very manly. And then she was going all the way, and then I realized that she was starting to come to the pulpit. And so I said, stop right there. So, and then she stopped right away. And then I started to to minister to her and trying to, to talk to her, but she was saying weird, sentences and words, and I realized then that this person, okay, is demon possessed. So we started to cast out demon out of her, and then the power of God just came all over her, and then she started to cry, and it was really a demonstration of the power of God, and the members thought it was a drama, that it was all stage up, that you kind of put into a play, and they didn't realize that it was actually happening. And so after that, I asked the intercessors to just bring her along to the side and minister unto her. So brothers and sisters, it's high time, I do believe, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to manifest, okay, the works of the Lord, not only here in the so-called gatherings of the believers, but also out there. That wherever you are, then you can manifest the glory of God. And it is my belief, and I know that God, is raising up a generation in these days that they are going to manifest the glory of the Lord in these last days. Yeah. Amen? I know that in my heart. I believe that with all my heart. Because we are living in a time where people can no longer believe, okay, what they just hear, but they will believe what they can see happening. Yeah. Amen? Actually, it was I had an experience here while we are here. My wife loves to go to, she loves to go garage selling. And so, last month, we went to a garage selling and we were looking for a keyboard because our keyboard in the church was broken, and during the camp we were transporting all those equipments and then it fell from the truck. So, the keyboard was broken, so we were looking for a keyboard here. And so we saw a keyboard in the garage sale, and then the tag was $30. And I asked the owner, if it works. So we tried it out and I started to play, I know a little bit of the piano, so I started to play the song, Steel. Hide me now under your wings. Oh, my voice is terrible. Okay. So, but the piano sounded good though, but not my voice. So, and one of the lady there heard, okay, what was being played, and she kind of liked it, and said, "Well, that's a beautiful song. It's a church song." Yes. And she said, she asked us, "Oh, where do we go?" And so we said, "Oh yeah, we go to Abbot Loop. We are missionaries, and we're here in the furlough." And she said that, "I used to go to Abbot Loop. I went to Christian school there, and she knows all the people here, Rick Benjamin. She knows all the old people in Abbot Loop." And so, and she said that she used to come there, and she used to come here. And then, and right now she, her life is not really doing well. And then meanwhile, we asked the owner of the piano that they're going to, reduce the price if they can give us a bargain, And so when they found out that it was for the church, said, "Okay, well, we'll give you, $20 for it." So that was a good bargain, $20 for a keyboard, And so we were so happy already. And then the woman, I believe, she was probably touched with the Lord, and she said, she had a $10 with her, she actually had a $10, and then from the change that she got from the, she bought, and then she gave the $10 to us, and said, "Well, here's the $10, for your keyboard." And then, so every time you remember, every time you play the piano, remember my name. My name is Susan. Right, Susan? So, okay. And then, after that, I sensed in my spirit that this woman needs a touch from God. So I started to minister to her. I started to talk to her and pray for her right there in the middle of the garage sale. Okay? and people were looking at us because the woman started to cry, and we found out that, you know, her son is in jail, and that she, you know, has gone through a broken relationship, okay? That she was recently divorced, and that she needs the Lord in her life. And right there in the middle of the garage, okay, we were ministering to her, and the presence of God was all over her. And then the people who were around here were looking, ooh, what's happening, you know? I was about to give an altar call to everyone there. You know, but, you know, it was right there. I mean, it's the reality. People are hurting, and people are in a mess. People are disappointed and distressed. I mean, they have circumstances that is beyond their head. And the people of God, this generation, okay, who calls themselves, you know, the people of God, must rise up and, you know, and manifest what we are talking about. Right. Amen? Amen? I mean, I don't care how beautiful you can pray here. Now, if you don't, you know, manifest that and demonstrate that in the world out there, then it's just a bunch of talk. Amen? Apostle Paul call it, you know, like you're just bubbling. No, you're just talking and bubbling. So I do believe that God is going to raise up a generation. Amen. And it's called a heavenly generation. Amen. A generation that will operate in the spiritual realm, that will have an open access to the heavens, just like what happened to Jacob when he had a dream. I believe it was very prophetic that God said, hey, Jacob, since you are a descendant of Abraham, and I'm going to raise up a nation that will know me, a nation that will I bless so that you can be the blessing to the nations. And so he gave a prophetic, you know, vision to Jacob, telling him that, Jacob, no, you're going to have descendants, and that your descendants is going to have an access to heaven. Amen. Where the angels are going back and forth, a ladder where they can go back and forth. It is an access to the heaven, because his generation will be able to access that, because they're called the heavenly generations. And another thing also that kind of really, you know, bring illumination to my understanding that God had all this plan all along. And 1 Peter, okay, I'll go very quickly, very fast. Do you like Jackie Chan movies?
Yeah.
Good. All right, so I guess you have no problem of understanding my accent. Okay. All right. Yeah, I heard somebody said, hey, you sounded like Jackie Chan. Okay. And sometimes my children, you know, they give me a hard time with sounding like a Jackie Chan. But, you know, I said, well, it's, you know, if you have an accent, it's to your advantage. If you're a guest speaker and you're speaking, because people will tend to listen more, you know, because they don't want to miss what you're saying. So if you have an accent, say, okay, what are you saying? All right. I know most of you speak in tongues, but you don't have an accent. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, so this is what Peter said. You are coming to Christ, and who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are a living stone that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that pleases God, as the scripture says. And I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you trust him, recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession or a peculiar people. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. You can show others, or you can show forth His praise. You can declare His glory, you know, the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So what Apostle Peter is trying to tell, the people here during his time was that he was telling them that, when you come to Christ, you are considered as a living stone. You're a living stone being built into this spiritual temple. I was actually amazed when Pastor Reed said that God does not dwell, in a building made with hands, because He lives in the people. He tabernacled in the people. When God told Moses to build a tabernacle, it was actually a pattern that was shown to him. And because, God was very specific about it, because what He told him was a pattern made from heaven. And He wants to make sure that what was Moses was going to build was exactly the same pattern that is in heaven. And so the spiritual temple, if you're going to go on, in the New Testament, you'll find out that the spiritual temple is not referring to the building or the tabernacle of David or the temple that Solomon built, but it is referring to the people of God, that we are the dwelling place of God. We are the generation that God manifests His glory, where He dwells. Amen. And you, each and every one of you, is being built into this, being added into this. So you are actually a generation of people that is the dwelling place of God. A dwelling place of God. Now the word generation in the Old Testament, or the whole Bible, actually is used in three ways. It could be referring to the children, or descendants, or it could be referring to a genealogy. But it could also be referring to a group of people living in a specific period of time, regardless of age. So when Jesus was trying to manifest the glory of the Father, and so He was doing the work of the ministry, healing the sick, preaching and teaching, and then these Pharisees and these Jews, who always rejected His authority and didn't want to accept Him as the Messiah, so they tell, Jesus, give us a sign. Give us a sign, that we will believe your authority, that you came from heaven. And so Jesus said that this evil generation, the word evil, it means they always oppose. Remember that time when Apostle Peter, was saying, he thought that he was saying a revelation that said, no, Lord Jesus, this will not happen to you. You're not going to die. And then Jesus said, you devil. No. Oh, yeah. I think Peter was not demon-possessed at that time, He was not demon-possessed that the devil was speaking through him. No, but the word devil, it means that he was opposing God's plan, for Jesus' life. That Jesus has to go through the cross. And Apostle Peter says, no, this will not happen to you. So Jesus says, hey, you don't have the mind of God. You have the mind, you have the mind of the world. You have the mind of the enemy. That is a manly perspective. Because what they thought of a Messiah is someone is going to establish the kingdom of Israel, in the literal way, in a natural way. So he has the mind, the earthly mind, the worldly mind, the human mind. And he doesn't have the mind of God. And so Jesus, was telling them that, hey, because you don't believe in me, you rejected me, You rejected me, so this generation, is going to be ruined. This generation is going to be ruined. And the people in Nineveh will rise up against this generation. Because when Jonah came to them and he preached repentance, they repented. And greater than Jonah is here. And he also told him that the Queen of Sheba will also, curse this generation. Because, greater than King Solomon is here. And so Jesus was referring to that generation who were alive at a specific time, that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he made an illustration about, that if a person who has been who has a demon in him, and then the demon will go away, and then that person, okay, is still empty, so the demon will come back, you know, with seven other demons again, and then it will be worse than it was before. And so he said that, you know, this one, it will be like for this generation, because they keep on rejecting me, they keep on rejecting me, then their unbelief and their rejection of what God's plan for their lives will increase. But I want us to understand that God has a great plan for those who come to Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay, I will go direct to the point now. All right? In verse 9 of 1 Peter, it says, but you are a chosen generation. Okay, you are not a generation that rejected Christ. Amen? You are a generation, okay, that embraces Christ. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many here love the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Woo! Yes. No. So therefore he said, those who accepted the Lord, okay, you are a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness. A chosen generation, it means you are called for a purpose. You are selected for a special mission. Heavenly generations are people of destiny, meaning that they know the reason of their existence. Amen? A heavenly generation are those who understood why they are here on earth. Heavenly generations are living with a purpose. Joseph, he said, I was sent here in Egypt ahead of you because God wants to preserve you and your families. And so he says, so it was not you who sent me here, but actually it was God who sent me. Here Joseph understood his purpose, why he was in Egypt. Brothers and sisters, if you understand your purpose, if you know the reason of your existence, then I want you to know that you will be able to go through every hardship and every circumstances that comes into your life. And you're going to endure it, and you're going to persevere, and you're going to go through every obstacle that is in your way, and you will not stop because you know God has a purpose for you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Joseph received a dream from the Lord, and he know that God has a purpose for him. The reason why he made it through, you know, being a slave of Potiphar and went through all this hardship in prison, because he knew that God had a purpose for him. Yeah. Amen? If you are living right now and you don't know why you are here, then you are in great trouble. Amen? Esther, she was made queen of Persia to preserve the Jews. Mordecai told her that, who knows, it must be for this reason why you became the queen of Persia. Apostle Paul said, oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling that God has called me. And he said, there's one thing that I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward. He knew his purpose. Jesus said, this was the reason I was born. When he was being questioned by Pilate, and he said, for this reason, for this cause, I was born. A heavenly generations are those who know that they have purpose in their lives. Amen? And not only that, a heavenly generations, they are a royal priesthood. They are the kingdom of priests. In other translation, it means that they are the mediators of the kingdom. Now, a mediator has two responsibilities. Number one, a mediator of the kingdom will intercede in behalf of the king about his rulership, his will, his laws, and desires to the people. The royalness will be made known to the subjects. The glory and grandeur of the kingdom will be manifested to all the dominions. That is the role or duty or responsibility of a mediator. And second, a mediator of the kingdom will present to the king the needs, the petitions, the supplications, offerings, the adulation, and the adoration of the domain. So the priests in the Old Testament, that's what they did. They went, you know, they stood in the gap and they interceded in behalf of God, what God wants to communicate to his people, and the petition of the people to God. And you are a heavenly generation that is living for the kingdom of God. Jesus was living for the kingdom. He made known the will of the Father, and he revealed the glory of the Father, the words of the Father, and he used the kingdom authority and power to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. If you consider yourselves a heavenly generation, then you are a mediator of the kingdom. Our King Jesus is sitting on the throne, and we are being seated with him, and it implies authority and power. We need to have a kingdom perspective in order to manifest a kingdom authority and power that brings glory to the King.
Yeah,
amen?
Yeah.
I think Jesus came here because he wants to intercede. He was actually the high priest. He was the eternal priest. And he made known the will of the Father. It was actually the first message that said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he declared messages, it was all about the kingdom. He was coming, he was trying to bring down the heavenly realm to earth. He was a great mediator. Amen. And third, a holy nation. People who are set apart, sanctified. Group of people, a nation that stands alone and not being intimidated, a nation that has its own standard, identity, and attributes that cannot be equaled. The word holy, it simply means set apart, sanctified ones. So when God said, I am a holy God, God is just plainly saying, there is no other God like me. All the other gods are nothing compared to me. So I am unique. I'm different. I am set apart. I'm set aside. No one is like me. That is the word holy. So when God said that you are a holy nation, he's saying that, hey, you are unique. You're special. Okay. You're different. You're set apart. And that you have identity and standard and attributes that cannot be equaled. Amen? That's who you are. So a heavenly generation is living a sanctified and glorious life. You are the salt and the light. It means a people of godly influence and has the ability to change their atmosphere. But rather, you will overcome every act of darkness. Amen? So a holy nation is more than just being nice, all right, or being a good person. But actually a holy nation or a holy person is someone who has the ability to make a difference in their surroundings.
Yeah.
Amen. When people will look at you, they will say, hey, you're a different guy. Hey, no, there's something in you, that's hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
And when people will say that to you, then something is happening in your life. Amen. Number four. A heavenly generations, they are a peculiar people. In other translation, it means that his very own possession, his personal property, his expensive treasure. Heavenly generation is relationally secured in Christ. We can declare with confidence that nothing will separate us from the love of God. We are protected and nothing can diminish our value and worth in the eyes of God. You are special in the eyes of God. Amen? And your value is always the same in the eyes of God. You are so valuable that he gave his only begotten son for you. Oh, I remember. I have a $10 here. Who wants $10? Okay. 1, 2, 3. So I guess I have to, there are a lot of, okay. Now this is the value of this piece of paper is $10. Now what I'll do with this is, I guess I'll just crumple it. All right. Now, who wants this piece of paper? Woo! Amazing! You still want it? How come? How come you still want it? It's still $10. No matter how crumpled it is, no matter how it gets dirty, okay, and even though you already use it in the toilet, okay, you still want it because the value has never changed. Still the same. So the message is, no matter what you have gone through, no matter how dirty you get, your value is still the same. You're relationally secured in Christ. His love for you is not affected by your weaknesses, by your sins, by your limitations. You are special before Him. You are His treasured possessions. Amen? I think this guy wants the $10. Amen? Now, King David said, in the book of Psalms, actually in Acts chapter 13, this is what David said. For after David had reserved his generation, according to the will of God, he died and was buried, and his body decayed. This was a great testimony for the life of King David. He served his generation according to the will of God. In Psalms 22:30, future generations will also serve Him. Our children will hear about the wonders of the Lord. In Psalms 45, verse 17, I will just go through these verses here very quickly, okay? And just I want you to just hear them and just, you know, listen, okay? Listen to these verses that it says, I will bring honor to your name in every generation. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever, forever and ever. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation. Your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Here King David can declare that your power, your mighty miracles. Why? Because he have seen the power of God. He have witnessed the miracles in his times. He have seen the preservation of the Lord in his life. He experienced the, you know, the protection of God in his life. So he could say that, I will declare, I will proclaim your power. And then in Psalm 71 verse 18, now, okay, in Psalm 78 verse 4, we will not hide this truth from our children, but we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of His power and the mighty miracles He did. In Psalm 78 verse 6, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children. In Psalm 78 verse 7, so each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. In Psalm 79 verse 13, then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness from generation to generation. In Psalms 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. But you, O Lord, will rule forever. Your fame will endure to every generation. In Psalms 102 verse 18, let this be recorded for future generation, so that a nation yet to be created will praise the Lord. In Psalms 112 verse 2, Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. In Psalms 145 verse 4, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. In Psalms 145 verse 13, for your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your rule after your rule generation after generation, and the Lord is faithful in all he says, and he is gracious in all he does. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That King David is saying that every generation will know and experience the power of God. And you will not confidently declare to the next generation the power of God if you yourself had not personally encountered God's power in your life. So what I'm trying to say is this, that you must have an understanding of who you are in Christ, that you are a generation, okay, that is now walking in the heavenly realms. What Christ did, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation has paved the way for us to access all our spiritual heavenly inheritance. And that there's nothing we need to do to strive for it. All we need to do is to receive it and manifest it. I mean, you will never be holy enough. Okay? You will never be good enough in order to get all these heavenly things. Christ already did all these things for you, and he is handing out to you, and all you need to do is to receive them and to manifest them and demonstrate the power of God in your life. Amen? You're talking all about the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they are wonderful. And it's been given to you already. It's a gift. It will not be a good gift if you don't receive it. Amen? All you need to do is to receive it and say, Lord, I want it. Lord, I want to use it. Then God is going to demonstrate his power in your life. Amen? You need to have a change of mentality. A change of thinking. No, you're still young. You know, you can actually, your ways are not set yet. No, there's still a way of making your minds do things that, you know, the way God wants it to be. So if you're going to have a heavenly mindset, that's why the Bible says, set your heart on things that are above. Set your heart on things on the heavenlies. And when you learn to do that when you're still young, I know, as you continue in your life, then you're going to walk in a supernatural way as a natural part of your life. Amen? There's a story that I heard very quickly. Oh, very okay. It's about this Indian guy who have a special dog for hunting. So when he goes to hunt, he has his dog with him. And the dog, you know, will just get the bird that he shot. So he invited his American friend. So, you know, and the American friend also brought his dog. All right. So they went hunting together. And so his American friend, you know, shot a bird. Bang. And so the bird, you know, dropped into the lake. And so the dog of the American just, you know, jumped to the water and swim, and then got the bird, the duck, and brought it back. And then it was the Indian's turn. He shot a bird, bang, and so the bird just dropped in the middle of the lake, and his dog jumped into the lake, but instead of swimming, started to run on top of the water. The dog ran on top of the water, grabbed the bird, and put it back. And the Indian was looking at his friend. No, if he noticed, you know, what happened. But the American was just, no comment at all, no response. And so the Indian said, maybe he did not see it. So he shot another bird again. And so his dog jumped into the lake again and ran on top of the water, you know, and grabbed the bird and went back. And so the Indian said, have you seen anything different about my dog? And the American said, yeah, I noticed that your dog doesn't know how to swim. His dog doesn't. He noticed that the dog cannot swim. So the Indians was expecting, okay, that, hey guy, your dog is, I mean, it's a supernatural dog. You know, it can walk into the water. It can run on top of the water. But the American guy was so probably, you know, here's a miracle in front of him and he cannot see it. Why? Because his mind was so accustomed to the natural that he started to look, you know, for the natural, you know, things to happen. So, as kingdom of, you know, as children of the kingdom of God, we need to, you know, to begin to see things from the spiritual perspective, from the heavenly realm. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus, I told you earthly things, and it's hard for you to understand. How much more have I tell you about heavenly things? So I do believe that God is raising up a generation that their minds and their heart is set on heavenly realms, that they're going to live and walk and breathe and have a natural life, okay, that is in the realm of the miracles with signs and wonders. Amen? It will just be normal for you. If somebody's sick, then, okay, let me pray. In Jesus' name, be healed. Right? Hello? I mean, you are a spiritual mutant generation. Amen? And you have the gift. Amen? You have the spiritual gifts. And maybe people cannot, you know, figure you out and they cannot understand you because you have the gift. But you need to understand that God is changing you and God is transforming you and He wants you to function in the way He wants you to be. Amen? I wrote a declaration, you know, that I do believe it will, this declaration, it actually helps me to know who I am. And every time I make a declaration, it changes my mind. It changes my attitude. And this is my life's declaration. I declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, in my family, in my job, in my businesses. And I declare that I will seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. I declare that I will put my faith in God. Though I cannot see the future, but I can see the God of the future. Therefore, I will not be afraid or worried when I face difficult circumstances. Because the God that I serve is the Lord of all circumstances. I will not panic. I will not rely on my own wisdom. But I will seek the wisdom of God. I declare the purpose of God to be prioritized in every aspect of my life. I declare the will of God to be my guiding light. I will be guided by the Spirit of Counselor in all my decisions in life. I declare holiness and righteousness of God to be reflected in my character. I declare the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to be manifested in my life. I declare that I will constantly walk and live under the control of the Holy Spirit so that I cannot do the desires of my sinful nature. I declare the anointing of God to be upon me, to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to bring deliverance to the captives, and to set the oppressed free from every stronghold. I declare the empowerment of God in my life to serve and to witness. I will be a servant in the kingdom of God. And I will be a channel of His glory. I declare the divine empowerment in my life to demonstrate the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bring edification in the body of Christ and to have authority over the works of darkness. Yeah. I declare an abundant life that is full of provisions, protection, health, peace, and happiness. I declare a financial breakthrough over my financial debts and obligations. I declare success in my business, promotion, and increase of wages in my job. I declare relational harmony over my family, relatives, and friends. I declare blessings in everything that my hand touches. That is my declaration. And if you have a declaration in your life of what you're going to be in the kingdom of God, then God will honor it. Amen.